everyone. Welcome to another episode of Caught Between a Tie and High Heels, a transgender podcast journal where I share past experiences and new situations as I slowly step out of the closet to free myself from the tie and live my life completely in the high heels. I'm Jamie, your hostess and friendly neighborhood trans lesbian, and welcome to the podcast. My beautiful listeners, it is the 13th of July, 2022. Welcome to the episode. And I was just listening to the opener I recorded, and I got to tell you, I feel like my voice doesn't even sound like that. And I recorded that it doesn't sound like that anymore. And I feel like I'm growing farther and farther away from that voice or maybe I was just trying way too hard. I think I recorded that like at wee hours of the night, but I just feel like my voice it's not even a true representation of my voice anymore. And I'm just like, maybe I need to record it again. I don't know. But I don't think I sound like that anymore. I have to make a confession. I have recorded 60, this will be the 65th episode that I have recorded, and I have only listened to a total of maybe 20 minutes worth altogether. I've listened to bits and pieces of multiple episodes, and maybe that equals out to be about 20 minutes because I am still, I don't know, there's something. I used to be in radio. Yeah, you have to understand, as we talked about, and I had no problem listening to my voice. I thought that I sounded pretty good, but it's like me now trying to do my voice, I have not listened to these because I'm so petrified of how awful my voice sounds now. Like, I don't even think it sounds feminine. But especially now, first of all, I have to apologize. My voice sounds really raspy right now, and it's hard for me to even talk. Sorry. The whole, of course, the topic of today's podcast being that I went and I had a fantastic time Saturday night at a drag show. And I have been to drag shows before, and it was a lot of fun, and I had not been to a drag show, oh my gosh, in years. And this was an intimate setting. The restaurant in which I don't want to say, because the last thing, I'm good friends with them, and the last thing that I want to do, the owners and the manager, I don't want to overstep my bounds, because they are not sponsors in any way, shape, or form of the podcast, but they're just wonderful people, and the last thing I would want to do is, of course, piss them off. You don't want to piss people off that are, you know, your friends. And so I'm not going to say the restaurant, but it was an intimate setting, and to see these women, these drag queens do, and I call them women, I guess that is okay. I've kind of struggled with that since Saturday. It's like, well, you call them girls, right? And the MC, the one drag queen that was hosting everything, of course, was saying, you know, pay my girls and blah, 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 you know, make sure that they know you love them. So that's what I'm calling them. Anyway, just a true wonderful show. Absolutely wonderful show. My only problem was for 3.5 hours, I did nothing except continue to woo, you know, as loud as you possibly can. And I woke up, I came home that night, and there's no way that I could talk. My throat was so raw, and I'm already struggling. I think I have a nasal infection again, which sucks. But to add on to it, a scratchy, you know, ripped up throat from screaming all night. So that's not helping me out any. And you should have heard me Sunday, because I literally sounded like, with no effort whatsoever, that I had chain smoked, you know, 4 packs of cigarettes every day since I was 13. And it was literally waking up, "Hello, sweetheart. It's good to see you. How are you?" You know, and it was just so, you know, I didn't even, I was like, "When you go over to the store, pick me up a pack of smokes, will you, honey?" You know, it just was. So Sunday was rough recovery, but it was a good night. The food was fantastic. The drinks were great. The entertainment was just off the frickin' chart. And if you have not gone to a drag show before, I beg you. I would call bullshit, because if you're looking for a good time, you're looking to have a fantastic time, go to a drag show. I'm not talking drag bingo. The drag queens that do drag bingo, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Drag trivia, also fantastic. But I mean an honest-to-goodness drag show. That is got to be... it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, I mean, these women work. They really do. They put so much of themselves into these routines. And I mean, they are shaking ass. They are working it for, I mean, a good 2 4-minute songs. So for like 8 minutes solid, they are moving. They are hustling. And don't be coming into this. Don't go thinking that you're looking for a female impersonator. It's not that. Yes, they're going to lip sync. Yes, they're going to be all over the place. But these are... And if you think that they're not talented, you're dead wrong. You're going at it completely with the wrong attitude. These are extremely talented women doing what they're doing. The dance moves. Oh my God, this one girl, she ended up doing a front flip into the splits right in the middle of this very small... It was a restaurant, but like a very small area in the middle of the restaurant. I was just like, wow, you gotta be kidding me. And not just once, but twice. And of course there was a couple of dead drops, and, I mean, it was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So again, if you want to have a good time, not even a good time. You want to have a great time. You want to get your mind off of something. You want to hear some good music, some raunchy jokes, and just some good old-fashioned fun. You need to go to a drag show. And I cannot tell you, this isn't the same. It's not RuPaul's Drag Race. Love Ru. She is the queen of, as far as I'm concerned, the queen of drag queens. But, and what was really cool was one of the drag queens, in the show was also transgender. And I was really, this was just like, okay, this woman is representing, you know, my community, and did it with flying colors, did it with class, did it with style. I'm not going to take shit off anyone kind of attitude, which I love. I respect that, especially when you've gone through a lot. And she even opened up about a little bit of her journey, you know, where she was when she was a kid. She was bullied. I was too. Again, I really think the more I talk, the more trans women. I haven't had a lot of conversations with trans men, mind you. But the more I talk to trans women, the more we all have a very similar path to some degree, with personalized variations, of course. But I think it was just very interesting. Like, I find myself listening to other people's stories. Like, I've read a number of biographies, and they're coming out stories, and I find them to be eerily similar to the same story that I'm telling in this podcast. Or again, I'm slowly writing, but trying to get that out and get my story told. It's really similar, and they're similar to one another. The same type of thing the same questions that you ended up having. And again, especially the ones that are the women that are in my generation. You know, you're born in the 70s, you're growing up through the 80s, you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. The internet hasn't, it's not a thing yet. And you're just trying to figure it all out. And I really thought that it was just amazing for her to share. And it was really wonderful for her to share her story in the midst of all of this. Having a good time, drinking, doing jello shots, twerk contests. I mean, just amazing. And yeah, so I cannot recommend going to a drag show enough, which was pretty amazing. Oh, by the way, also, if you hear something different, I've got new equipment. So I'm working with a brand new microphone. I hope this sounds good. It better for the amount of price I paid for this microphone. I got a Yeti, a blue Yeti. So far, so good. A, I love the way it looks. I love these old pill-looking microphones. I hope it sounds all right. And this I will listen back on at least 5 more minutes. So we'll be up to like a half hour. We can say I've listened to at least a half hour of my podcasts. Just to make sure that this microphone is working. I've got to sit really far back, though. Before, I was like right up on the microphone. And now I am probably a good foot away from the mic. And this is kind of disturbing. Even in radio, you have to be pretty much right on the mic in order for you to be able to get picked up. But here, it's just I'm like a foot away, foot and a half away from the microphone. And it's still registering me on the recording. I'm looking at it right now. It's like I'm almost redlining it, which is I don't want to pop the speaker, but I hope it sounds good. So I hope you're enjoying the new, but if it sounds a little weird or I get too close to the mic, I apologize. I've just got to get used to not basically hovering around the mic, which is a new thing for me. So I'm working with that. Let's see. There was something else I was going to tell you. Did the drag show. That was really good. Oh my God, I'm blanking. I cannot believe I'm blanking. Well, oh, speaking of trans men, I can tell you this. I ended up having a fantastic conversation. So where my former employment, I actually worked with a good percentage of members of the Alphabet Mafia of all kinds, asexual, bisexual, polyamorous, pansexual, lesbians, gays, transgender, which was awesome. And it has given me an opportunity in order to be a friend to a trans man, which I cannot tell you the amount of honor and pride I feel for this individual. First of all, immensely intelligent individual. And I just love them dearly. I really do. And I love his sister. I just think they're extremely creative individuals, extremely intelligent. I feel like I'm an intellectual dwarf. I feel that way about most because I don't think I have the proper, I know a lot of weird stuff, but I don't know actual substance. And when I say substance, I don't feel that I know like a good chunk of historical. You give me a topic and I'll wax poetic about that till the cows come home. But to have such a broad range of knowledge about stuff, to me, that's substance. And, you know, I mean, I can tell you about weaving. I can tell you about all the parts of weaving. I can tell you the history of weaving. Oh my gosh, I can tell you mythology. I can tell you, you know, those are some of that stuff. But to kind of have a broad spectrum of an entire century or two or throughout history, it just makes me in awe. And that's what this trans man that I know and I am privileged to call a friend. He possesses this knowledge, and I am just insanely jealous and envious at the amount of, and I always learn something. I said this to him when we had coffee on Friday or Thursday, excuse me. We had coffee on Thursday, and I told him, I was like, every single time I talk to you, I learn something new. And I just absolutely love, I miss the fact because we're not working with each other, we don't get a chance to see each other as much. But I told him at that point, I was like, we should really do this more often, because I really do miss speaking with him. And just an insanely talented and intellectually brilliant individual. So, and we ended up getting to talking about some aspects. And I think that this would probably be a really good, I'm going to mention it here, but I really think that to do it justice, I told him that I would really love for him to be a guest on the show in order for us to talk about this type of thing. So I'm really hoping that he will think about it and get back to me and want to be part of this, at least a couple of episodes. It would be really nice. But the differences during transition for a trans man and a trans woman. And I mean, I can't speak. I can only speak from what I have seen, what I've read in articles, where he's living it. And I just think that's absolutely wonderful. And to be able to get that perspective of both the mental, emotional, social aspects of a transition. He's already been doing his T for a couple of years. He's already had top surgery. Again, just doing so well and looks so good. Very handsome. And I I'm proud to say that this person is my friend. And so I'm really hoping that we can get into a conversation. The big thing that I was talking about is that I've made the statement before, and I've kind of cringed when I've made it, but I've made the statement before is that I think that for a trans person during their transition, it is socially easier for a trans man because of the male double standard. If you want to look like a guy, it's great. No problem. We're in for it. But if you're a guy looking to look like a girl, you're a freak. You're as I got called, an abomination. Like, really? Really? You're going to have that kind of, like, I'm a traitor or something to the team. Like, I'm telling you, why would you want me in your ranks to begin with if I'm not feeling like I connect with my male persona that I'm supposed to have? Like, I've got to work hard in order to act like you want me to. Why do you want that on your team? So why are you upset if I'm saying I recognize this in myself and I'm going to go to the other side because that's where I feel more comfortable? You're going to give me a ration of shit over that. But if I'm a female and I said, hey, I don't connect. Well, then of course that's a little bit more socially acceptable. No problem. Nobody looks second at you. You know, if you're a guy dressed or a girl dressed up as a guy, hey, it's just another dude. Looks a little feminine, but it's a dude. Hey, you're all right. And if you're a trans woman, well, now you're just a guy in a dress. You better pass. And this goes back to what I talked about a few episodes before of just owning it. And we talked for a long time on this topic, but I was just like, I'm not doing the conversation justice. And I'm sure that if he does come onto the show, he would be able to really speak more intelligently on this topic. But it was just like, man, it was coming to that realization that the pressure, the social anxiety that is caused by society for a trans woman, is just insane. You've got to pass in order for you to even get any kind of remote. Because I told my friend, I feel that, like, yeah, I'm slowly coming out, but I feel like I got a target on my back. if I slightly pass, well, the target isn't as bold a color. And if I pass completely, well, then there's no target at all. I don't have to worry about it. I'm just accepted as that, okay, that's a check and you're going to go on. That's what I think, not just to look the part. Yes, it would be great in order for me to, you know, look like Heidi Klum or, you know, some other wonderful model or actress or something of that nature. But I know that that's not a reality. My thing is that if I look like an average Jane Doe that's, you know, out in the in the public, then I'm not going to get looked at. And so that's more of the pressure on a male to female transgender, I believe. Again, this is my own opinion. I would love to hear from some of you other ladies that hopefully are out there listening. What do you think? And or how do you feel about passing, the big passing question, I guess, because it just, I don't know. I got tired of having to work on trying to pass. And I'm just trying to be me. And that's where I kind of just owned it. But as we were talking, it switched from this social anxiety to the more the emotional side or the surgical side. Well, the surgical side is also another big difference. I think it's very much reversed. Things have gotten so much easier for a trans woman to transition through surgery than it is for a trans man. And my friend said that it was much easier to dig a hole than it is to make a pole. And I was like, well, that's... That just tickles me, but I mean, it's very true. I remember when I was first back in the 80s, I was looking at what does it take in order for someone. This is back when the Harry Benjamin standards of care were like the Bible for transitioning. And you were looking at what the surgeries were. And you were looking at I think it was about 4 surgeries that you would have for bottom surgery. Top surgery is really kind of always been the same. It's, you know, what kind of implants are you trying to put in so you get a boob job done, you know. And again, the technology has changed a little bit since then, but it's pretty much been cut and dry. You're getting implants. So, but bottom surgery, though, in order for you to, I believe that there was first the gender reassignment surgery, or the SRS. So you would get that. Then you had to go in for a labiaplasty, or I can't remember if that was it. A labiaplasty, and that could be two or three other surgeries in order for you to get a somewhat normal-looking vagina. Now, medically, you've got one, I believe it's one surgery. I haven't looked into this. Again, I really want to, but I've got to build up the courage for that. So I'm getting there. But I believe now it's one surgery. You get everything. You also get sensation. You're able to have sex and arrive at orgasm without a problem. And okay, so now my friend, though, enlightened me on the task of for bottom surgery for a female to male is just freaking brutal. It's about 5 to 8 surgeries that you're going to have to go through. And you're not even guaranteed functionality. There's skin grafts that are taken from like your forearm and your thigh, in order to actually create the shaft, just all sorts of stuff. And again, you don't, there's a really huge problem right now as far with the surgeries. You're not getting sensation. You're not able to climax the same way. Or be able to reach orgasm. So there's a lot of different things with that. And it's just so funny to me. Not funny, haha, but Jesus, you know, funny, like, oh my God, that you can have such a off balance, or I guess a balance, where socially it's so much easier for a female to male to be accepted than a male to female. But then medically, it's much harder for that female to male than it is the male to female, because they've perfected it so much. And I don't know whether or not that maybe, I'm just thinking about this, this just popped into my head, that maybe it's because of how much pressure is put on to a trans woman to pass and look like a cisgender female, that these types of surgeries have been pushed and pushed in order to be able to become better and fewer and easier, I guess, easier. I would think any kind of surgery would be a little bit difficult. Recovery is always going to be hard. But to me, it would be that maybe that's the motivating factor. Maybe that's what made everything kind of jump into place. So this is a conversation that we ended up having, and God forbid we ended up on religion, and we ended up on so many other things, but I just thought that this was really interesting to kind of talk about and kind of air out those differences between the transition of a trans man and a trans woman, and like how on different levels are they the same, and also how do they differ? And so maybe we can expand on that in an upcoming episode, or I would really like to get in depth and really, really keep your fingers crossed that my friend will decide that, yeah, it's okay in order to come and join in the in the podcast. So I'm really hoping that does happen. But until then, we will continue to keep our fingers crossed. And I am continuing to go through my transition very, very, very slowly, but and sometimes a lot slower than what I want. But again, you know, I understand that that's really kind of typical from anyone going through a transition. I said that I really wanted to go slow, and I am. But I always find in the back of my mind that I want more, I want it more, I want it more. Like, I literally have no boobs. I mean, seriously, after 5.5 freaking years of HRT, you would think I would have at least a B cup. I'd be happy with just a B. But no, no, I'm lucky if I can fill an A. And my right is way bigger than my left. I know, I keep hearing, well, you're always going to have one boob that's going to develop bigger, more than the other. Whatever. Body fat hasn't changed. It's the same old bitches and gripes and complaints. So I won't bore you with that. All right. This is going to be coming up to the time. So I'm going to leave you with that. And please cross your fingers. I hope you all are doing great. I do hope that you all had a great Pride month. Pride can continue all year long, 365 days. So, and also if you're a trans man out there, I would love to hear from you. If you want to, if my friend doesn't want to be on, then maybe we can talk. I would love to be able to talk shop and compare notes and see what's going on. And if you're struggling with your transition, take your time. Honestly, don't rush anything. I know you want it, but don't rush it. Just take your time. And when it's right, it's right. And just remember, own it. As my beautiful D tells me all the time, just own it, babe. Just own it. And it's yours. It's a beautiful thing. You all are beautiful. Thank you so much for listening. And until then, take care. Toodles. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, there are a few ways you can help us continue making great content. You can buy us a coffee at buymecoffee.com/Harry Rump. You can purchase some quality shirts and accessories at Harry Rump's House of Stuff, or become a patron at patreon.com/Harry Rump's House of Stuff. You can also do all those and contact us on our website at tieinhighheels.com. You can always find us on Instagram and Facebook at tieinhighheels. And don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. and email all of your comments and questions at Jamie, J-A-I-M-E-E, at tyinghighheels.com. And as always, happy listening!